Fly the airplane. What makes pilots forget job one over seemingly minor distractions? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. The Journal for the Proficient Pilot. Bob's newsletter is available on the web. You can sign up for it free. You'll get an email notification every time a new one's available, which is generally the first weekend of the month. We're going to go back now because it's been a while since we talked live and talk about a couple of issues that were brought up in the August edition of OTA. Bob, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Thanks, Paul. It's good to be with you, as always.
Let's start with a real conundrum that some other pilots have faced, and you have two examples of it here in an article entitled Fly the Airplane, Repeat, Fly the Airplane. Let's talk about this Cessna 185 accident and what it prompted you to think about in writing this article.
We had a tragic situation here just about 2 years ago, a Cessna 185 with three or five skydivers on board had just taken off from an airport just a couple of miles from my own home airport and was climbing out through the trees at about 50 feet, and the right-hand passenger door popped open. And as the reports of witnesses and survivors said, the one of the skydivers had reached over to pull the door back shut, and the pilot, who also survived the incident, then grabbed the skydiver by the harness, thinking he was about to fall out of the airplane, and pulled him back towards the cabin. And in the process, the wing of the aircraft dipped as they were just climbing out through the trees and clipped a tree, causing the airplane to literally cartwheel, and miraculously all but one survived the accident. There was one fatality on board the airplane. And it raises that common age-old question, what do you do in a critical phase of flight when there is a major distraction suddenly appearing in the cockpit? What do you do?
This accident, it happened during a critical phase of flight, but for some reason I have observed that when a door comes loose, it makes a loud rushing noise, it probably opens the vox on your intercom, and for some reason, people make a much bigger deal about it than it usually is.
Yeah, it's a sudden, startling event that captures 100% of your attention when 100% of your attention needs to be flying the airplane. Now, at cruise altitude, you know, okay, we have some time to deal with these issues, but at a critical, and when I say critical phase of flight, I'm talking about low to the ground, either on short final or immediately after liftoff when we haven't yet cleared the obstacles. And that's when this occurred. They had not yet cleared, 30 or 40, 50 feet tall trees at the end of the runway. And the pilot reacting instinctively, and he said, and I spoke with the pilot after the fact, he said, I thought this guy was going to fall out of my airplane. And I turned to grab him, and as I did, I must have given a tug on the yoke and yawed the airplane or banked the airplane right into the tree, and that's the last thing I remember. It begs the question, fly the airplane, repeat, fly the airplane, and it requires an incredible concentration and discipline. Paul, I remember on short final, and I think I've told this story before, that doing an ILS approach down to 200 feet at about the 300-foot mark, I had a passenger in the right seat suddenly go through a process of what we call projectile vomiting. Sorry to be so graphic, but just obliterated my landing instruments. Mm-hmm. I mean, she just did it all over the panel. And the distraction was enormous. And at that critical phase of flight, had I not had the discipline to continue flying the airplane and wipe off the instruments I needed to see and execute a missed approach, who knows what would have happened. But, I do this stuff every day, and I teach every day, and I guess I'm spring-loaded for unexpected actions by students. But the average pilot who flies, once every couple of weeks or once a month may not be so conditioned to ignore these distractions. And if they don't ignore the distractions, they can get themselves into a problem in a real hurry.
Well, and here's a case going back to the Cessna 185 story where the guy tried to save one passenger and ended up with a dead passenger. I mean, we're doing what came instinctively, and you'd think, well, if the guy really was going to fall out of the airplane, you'd want somebody to grab him. But in this case, that action was the cause of somebody else being a fatality.
Yeah, and the operative word in your statement, Paul, is instinct. Instinct is a strange process. Instinct is what tells us to believe our body senses rather than what our instruments are telling us. So instrument pilots are told to ignore their instincts. They're taught to ignore their body feelings and believe the instruments. VFR pilots perhaps are not taught that as strongly as they should. In all cases, we have to condition ourselves to fly the airplane. It may be a near miss. It may be turbulence. It may be a sudden flock of birds in front of the airplane, and we take evasive action, whatever. And in the final analysis, we have to fly the airplane. And if we have to repeat that mantra as we take off and fly, that's something we have to condition ourselves to do. This was a very, very experienced pilot, by the way. I mean, he was like a 9 or 10,000 hour pilot, flown hundreds, if not thousands, of skydiving missions. But when I spoke with him, he just simply said, I just lost my discipline and grabbed the pilot instinctively. I remember, quick story, I remember climbing out of Teterboro once, and ATC had asked me, in New Jersey, asked me to give me the best climb rate to get me above the Newark arrivals, which were arriving underneath us. And my 9-year-old daughter suffered a terrible ear block. And she went into a blood-curdling scream as we climbed through about 7,000 feet on a rapid climb. Instinctively, Paul, I'm her dad. Instinctively, I knew what was going on. I pushed the nose over, immediately stopped the climb to help relieve her pressure. At the same point in time, ATC is now screaming in my ear, say altitude, and then chastising me for not continuing the climb without telling him. And I'm looking at airliners flying under me to get into Newark at the time, and immediately ATC gave me a different heading and a route to fly after I said I had a passenger emergency. But without thinking, my fatherly instinct, protect my passenger, protect my daughter, for goodness sakes. I knew how to do that, but I put a lot of people at risk by stopping what he expected to be the best climb I could give him. And so I did it. I'm not saying I'm immune. We're all subject to this kind of instinctive reaction, and unfortunately, instincts can kill.
I guess what I'm hearing is that there may be no way to completely prevent this from happening, but we need to develop instincts or whatever the man-made equivalent of instincts are to fight those and make sure that we stay in control of the aircraft. Bob, I appreciate your candor in sharing those stories, because I'll bet you that we've had some listeners who've had things very similar happen to them.
I think, Paul, really, in summary, if we just put a placard up on the panel, 3-word placard, fly the airplane, just always fly the airplane first and then deal with the emergency. Just in closing, Eastern Airlines in the Everglades a number of years ago, we that was a rather famous fatal crash where there's a fire on board the airplane, fire in the cockpit. The pilot, the first officer, and the flight engineer all turned their attention to putting the fire out, and the airplane then crashed in the Everglades, killing all aboard, an airliner. I mean, that was classic. Same kind of deal, but it can happen to us as private pilots.
Well, and another crash in Florida that turned out to be caused by a defective light bulb. Somebody has to fly the airplane. If you have crew resource management going on and you have 2 or 3 people in the cockpit, one of them has to fly the airplane.
That's right.
All right, Bob. Well, as always, we appreciate your thoughts. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Thanks, Paul.
You can now find the September issue of Bob Miller's newsletter online at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.